Surely God yearns, as any loving parent would, that we choose wisely. In this and in every moment, let us bring joy to God's heart by choosing compassion for ourselves, our neighbors, and all of God's creation. Thank you. Let's stand as you're able and join in the call to worship as printed in the bulletin and on the screen. Come, walk in the way that leads to life. It is better to be. Come, choose to live a genuine life. Life is too short for petty resentments. Come, walk in the way Christ invites us to travel. We give thanks for Christ's way and for freedom to follow. Please join in the opening prayer. Open our eyes, Holy Spirit, that your love in our midst. We give you thanks for the power of our minds to choose right over wrong. Guide us now, that this power may not overwhelm, but inspire us. Help us choose compassion for ourselves and others. Teach us to set aside. Let us continue standing and join in singing, Lord of all hopefulness, in the faith we sing, verses 1 through 4. It's number 2197. It's also going to be on the screen.
Friends, would you pray with me? Almighty God, we give you thanks. Always we give you thanks that you are with us, even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the midst of joy. Throughout all life, you walk beside us. As you've said, you haven't left us abandoned. Lord, we give you thanks that we can hear. We give you thanks for the faithfulness of this community, that they make it possible that we can praise you with one another, that we can encourage each other. God, we pray for those who have lost loved ones. We pray for those whose hearts are grieving, who miss a dear member of their family. Lord, give them peace. Give them comfort. And let them know that they are not alone. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the simple joys, for the simple ways we bless one another, for reunions, for travels, for all of the things that you have done for us, for healing and grace and mercy. God, continue to show us your ways, your love, and your grace so that your light might shine through us, that our souls might be healed, that we might be made more and more every day to look like you. God, we give you thanks and we give you praise. And all the people said, Amen. So with the confidence of the children of God, I invite you to pray with us the prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And amen. Kids, why don't you come on up?
Our middle schoolers, if you would like to come and join us, you can. We were talking about how you guys can come and sit with us if you would like. Good morning, friends. All right, I got a question. Have you guys ever had a Hostess cupcake?
No. Yes.
No and yes. Okay. So for those of you that have never had a Hostess cupcake, they're the best things in the world. There's like a cream on the inside, like a vanilla cream. It's very nice. It's very nice. It's really good. You can trust us. So when you try new things, you often will wait for your friends to tell you if they like it, right? Or like your parents or something. You're not just going to, you know, go out and just see a random thing and try it, right? You're going to wait for someone to tell you that it's good. Yeah. I do. I don't know if you guys do that. Yeah. So that's kind of like how faith works. You trust that it's going to be good. Right? It's a lot about what if it's not? Well, that's the trusting part. So, like how you can trust me that a Hostess cupcake is good, you can trust the stuff that we learn in Sunday school and the stuff that we read in the Bible that God is good. Does that sound pretty cool? So the more time that we spend talking about how good Hostess cupcakes are, I bet all these adults are going to want one, right? So the more that we spend time learning about God and talking to God, do you guys think that the more you're going to trust God?
Yeah.
Yeah? Should I give you guys a cupcake and stop waving it in your face?
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'll give you one. Thank you, Miss Ma'am.
Yeah.
Alrighty, should we pray?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, God.
Hey, God.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For showing us
for showing
that we can trust you. And for giving us cupcakes. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as fleshly, as infants of Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still fleshly. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not fleshly and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not all too human? And then, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted Apollos, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and each will receive wages according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers, working together. You are God's field, God's building. May the Holy Spirit add understanding to these words. Amen. Now, if the ushers would come forward, it will be time to collect our gifts, tithes, and offerings.
God, thank you for these gifts. Thank you for these blessings. Thank you for the ways that you continue to provide for us. Lord, may the gifts that we have offered to you be used to bless our community. May we be a people who walks graciously, who keeps our eyes open for the ways and the places your Spirit is moving and stirring. Lord, may your grace be upon us so our hearts might be full. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Friends, I invite you to continue to stay standing as we sing our next hymn, Be Still My Soul. You can find it on page 534 of your hymnal or up on the screens. We'll be singing verses 1 through 3. Friends, you may be seated. Our gospel today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. This is the gospel, according to Matthew. No one can serve two masters, for a servant will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air.
They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, worrying by worrying, can add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who seek all these things. And indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. How dare I read this on Sunday, on Super Bowl Sunday, when we're probably all thinking about the snacks and the appetizers that we have to prepare and all of the commercials that we're about to watch. Amen? Yeah, I know. I know. But I want to talk, I want to finish up this, and full disclosure, friends, I'm not very good at promoting what series we do in the church when we go through worship, but I'm going to finish up this series with one more reflection on our hearts. See, if you remember many weeks ago, and don't worry, it's hard for me to remember back that far too, but if you remember many weeks ago, we talked about life and our journey of faith as one step after the other. Thanks be to God that we have a theology that says we don't have to be perfect as soon as we say, yes, Lord, that's a whole lifetime of work and of joy and of play. But as we walk forward, I think what we find is that these habits that we instill, these practices that we start to practice, for lack of a better term, that they start to change our hearts. And that it's the changing of our hearts and the changing of our attitudes that starts to change who we are and how we act in the world. And not only that, but we start to see blessings where perhaps we had missed them before. So last time we talked a little bit about hospitality, and you know, certainly there are limitations to that. The guests have to be just as hospitable as the hosts. But today I want to talk about another fruit of the Spirit, or another thing that we can point to and say, there Christ is alive. Christ has risen. The Spirit of God still works amongst the people. I want to talk about hope. Can we do that? No? All right, well, we're going to leave today then. And I want to talk about hope today. I'm sure you've heard stories or sermons or anecdotes or fun little folk wisdom along the lines of, the sun does what every day? It rises. I know. And yet, how many of you ever think that the sun is never going to rise again? Depends how late I've been up finishing a term paper or working out in the garage or doing laundry. Amen? Yeah, I know, right? But I wonder sometimes, what is it about us as people where we worry so much about what tomorrow might bring? That's probably actually a pretty natural thing. And I don't think you should feel bad about worrying. Christ isn't here saying, if you worry, watch out, you're in trouble. Christ is here saying, you don't have to worry. How many of you ever worry, though? Do you know what I worry about? When I'm in my office at home and I hear a noise out in the living room and I'm not quite sure what it is, but it sounds like a cross between a thud and breaking glass. Y'all been there before? We worry as people. That's natural. That's nothing out of the ordinary. And yet Christ is here saying, you don't have to. But there are so many times that might call for it. Or there are so many times where it's, if not necessary, it's understandable. There's this old story that gets told time and time again throughout history with the Israelites. You've probably heard it before. The Israelites get in trouble. And then what happens? God bails them out. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! God bails them out, and then they start to be blessed and live in this wonderful time of peace and prosperity and love and joy and all of those things that we long for. And then what happens? They start to forget, don't they? And then the forgetting leads to what? They get in trouble again. And then what do they do? They cry out and they say, Lord, help us. And then what does God do? He bails them out again. And the cycle starts anew. Now, it's fascinating in the gospel today. This is the gospel of Matthew. So Matthew's trying to let his readers and hearers know that this gospel is no different than what you have heard throughout your lives as Jews, as Israelites, as people of God, as people whose ancestor is Abraham. But it's interesting here that Christ says the Gentiles do these things. But for me, as a Gentile, I'm looking around and I'm thinking, this is a normal human story, isn't it? Life's going good, we forget who we are, we start to get in trouble, we cry out to God, or we cry out to whatever, and we say, how do we fix this? And eventually God fixes us, or we figure out how to fix it, then life is good again. And then what happens? It happens again. Right? It's a story as old as time for every civilization and people on this planet. What's fascinating to me is in the prophets, in Scripture, when that story gets told, there's always a glimmer at the end of it before God comes back and bails them out. Every time the prophets stand up and say, life could be better, let's be careful, it's always followed with, and God will show up. God will be there. Do not lose hope. Do not despair. If you have a Bible with you, or if you have your phone on it and you want to turn and look at it, just a little bit of trivia for you. If you turn to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and if you turn to the very end of it, funny little thing happens there. You might have some sections. This is the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version. This is actually the Bibles that we have typically given out to our confirmants. But if you turn to the end of Mark, you might find some interesting little headings before some of these sections. You have something called the shorter ending of Mark. This is in chapter 16, by the way, at the end of verse 8. You also have something called the longer ending of Mark. Now, I won't get into the nitty-gritty details because I'm kind of a church nerd, and I find this stuff fascinating, but you all might say, what a good time to take a nap. Hallelujah? Hallelujah. But did you know Scripture is just, how we've put Scripture together is just one big puzzle over the last several centuries? That there's a garbage heap in the city of Alexandria in Egypt where we find a lot of the fragments to put Scripture together? So again, I'm pretty confident that over the centuries, Scripture actually gets closer and closer to what it was. But you have curiosities like this that say the shorter ending of Mark or the longer ending of Mark. What I think that implies is that right before the shorter ending was the original ending of the Gospel of Mark. Does that logic track? Does that make sense, or am I just blowing smoke? Well, you're not telling me I'm blowing smoke, so we must be good. Okay? Okay. So this is the original ending of Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him, him being Christ. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's been raised. He's not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Of course, we have the other endings, the longer ones. But that line has always stuck with me there. The women came to the tomb. They were told by a young man in a white robe. We don't even say in this gospel that he's an angel. But they were told that Jesus is risen. And how did they leave? In fear and amazement, and probably a little bit of confusion. How many of you have felt fear or amazement or confusion in the last 3 years? Some of you who aren't raising your hand, tell me your secret, because I need it. It's a natural thing, isn't it? And you see it even in Scripture. Even as we're being told that Little Debbie hostess cakes are some of the best food in the world. They are, aren't they? How many of you wanted one of those as Addison was talking about them? I know, I'm fine outing myself. They sound really good and I haven't had breakfast yet. But even as we tell these stories again and again, even as we encourage one another, even as we walk through life and try and figure out, how am I going to get through the day? How am I going to put the pieces back together? How am I going to reconcile? How am I going to build something that will last? How am I going to care for the people I love and provide for them? Sometimes it's about 3 a.m. and the sun's not coming up for the next 2 hours or so. So the question is, at least the question that I have, that the Israelites probably had when they were in exile, when the prophets were speaking, when the women were running from the tomb. The question I have is, how do we take another step forward? How do we find hope in the midst of something or a situation that might steal it from us? The story I had is gone, friends, so I'll give you the answer. Is that okay? You're all gracious, thank you. Friends, we have hope and we find hope because Christ encourages each and every one of us. And not only that, has called and empowers each of us to encourage one another. I can't tell you how many times I've been worried about just random stuff in my life. Not to put you on the spot, Sarah, but how many times do I have to come to you and say, it's going to be all right, right? She's nodding her head for those on the radio who can't see. Can't tell you how many times we are driving on vacation and we are about to Webster City. And I go, oh my goodness, Sarah, I don't know if I left the oven on. We have to turn around. We have to go check so that I can relax. She says, usually, Luke, you weren't using the oven. But it's those things, it's those moments where we remind each other that it will be okay. That it not only will be, but that it is okay. In many ways, this is what the man in the white robe was doing for the women. This is what Christ was doing for his disciples. This is what the prophets were doing for the people in Israel when they were in exile, when they felt like their home was gone and they might never come back. It's what Christ does for us when we feel like our home that we've lived in for how many years has changed around us and we're not quite sure when it happened. And yet, over and over and over, what does Christ say? It'll be okay. It'll be well. God has not abandoned you. You have not abandoned each other. God will be faithful. You all have been, and I have no doubt you all continue to be faithful. Because when we're in the midst of worry, sometimes it's easy to forget. Right? Right. Which is why it's the task of the church, the body of Christ, to help each of us remember. I'll leave you with this story. You guys know about this dude named Moses, right? You've heard the name Moses before? Sure, good. So Moses was standing on a hill, and God told Moses, as long as you hold up your staff, your people, your armies will be victorious. But as soon as you lower your staff, the people that they are fighting will overtake them. So Moses took the staff. I wish I had a broom, right? Moses took his staff and held it above his head. And what happened? His people were being victorious. They were winning. As soon as his arms got tired, what happened? It fell, and his people were beginning to be routed. So what did they decide to do? Because his arms were tired, but he had to keep his staff above his head. What did they decide to do? There were two other people who said, Mo, we've got you. We'll help you out. And so they stood next to him, and when his arms got tired, they held the staff up for him. May you take that story with you. May you connect that to the times in your life that you are tired and need help, and know that it's okay to reach out. But may you also be like those others that look and help those of us when we are tired. May you help, be helped, but in all things, may you not lose hope. May you not despair. May you encourage one another, and may you know that God will never leave you, because God never has. Friends, go in hope, go in faith, and go in love. Amen? Amen. Friends, would you pray with me? Almighty God, I cannot even begin to assume what each and every single one of us is going through. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our struggles. You know our fears, our disappointments, our frustrations. Lord, speak to us your words of life, that we might trust you, that we might not lose hope, that we might know that your Son has risen and we will rise too. God, help us be your people who walks confidently, knowing that all will be well, and as long as we have you and we have each other, life will be good, and already is. God, bless us as we wrestle with anxieties or worries or fears or doubts. And Lord, help us encourage one another so that your love and your grace might be shown, not just to those of us in this congregation, but may we share that same hope and that same love to everyone in our communities as well. May we be a source of peace and stability for our people. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Friends, we invite you to stand as you are comfortable and join us in our final hymn, He Leadeth Me, which you can find on page 128 of your blue hymnal, or up on the screens. We'll be singing verses 1 through 4.
Amen. Amen. Friends, as we've said, if you've got some pocket change and you want to see, or you want to see if we can guess again who will win the Super Bowl, all proceeds go to the Lord's Cupboard, our food pantry that we help start and support. They need it. Food prices are high, and they've been a huge blessing to our community. So that's in the back. But friends, please receive the final blessing. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God lift you up and give you hope. May you go into life not fearing what might come. May you trust that the Lord is with you and will continue to be with you. May God open our ears and our eyes so that we might see where the Spirit is moving and that we might follow. But in all things, may you not despair. May you find hope. And may you know that all will be well. So go with God. God will go with you. Encourage one another. And may the Lord bless you. Amen. Amen. Friends, go rest. Enjoy your Sabbath. Get into your PJs or whatever. Go take a nap. Do what you need to. May the Lord bless you. Our service today is ended.